Over colorful lights, words appear. Hallmark Channel presents. The title appears, A Kismet Christmas. A Cookie Road and Front Street Pictures production. Sarah Ramos. Carlo Marx. Michelle Scarabelli, Barbara Pollard, Ruby Tupper, Rourke Critchlow, Zaf Paru, and Mary Lou Henner. Now outside a bookshop, a young white boy and girl look in the window. A sign reads, A Book Reading with Sarah Grace, best-selling author of Isabella's Kismet Cookies. The boy and girl wear homemade superhero costumes as they enter the shop.
Hand in hand, Isabella and Roger run into the park, not two steps behind Dagmar. But when they get to the stone wall, two things happen at the same time. Doyle steps out of the shadows looking for a fight, and Isabella feels her kismet fading.
An audience of children in homemade superhero costumes stare at Sarah as she smiles and closes the book.
That's it. Your exclusive sneak preview of book two. You're the first to ever hear it. I know you're so eager for the next book, but all I can say is it's coming soon. If I say any more, that man over there, my agent Benny, will yell at me.
She's right. I will. But I'm not all bad, because I have some very exciting news about the Isabella Christmas Contest. So many of you guys wrote in, and I'm thrilled to announce that Sarah has chosen a winning letter. She'll be traveling to the winner's hometown to announce their name. So people of New Britain, get ready, because Sarah Grace is coming.
Sarah forces a smile. She joins the children in the applause.
Wow.
Sarah turns to Benny.
New Britain, Maine.
New Britain, Maine.
Sarah turns away.
Okay, if anybody wants their book signed, come on up here.
The children rush up to Sarah.
Yes. Hi. What's your name?
Thank you so much.
Later in the mall, Sarah rides up an escalator with Benny.
Okay, I saw your face. What's with New Britain? How big of a problem?
It's kind of a big problem. New Britain is my hometown. Sort of.
Well, you've never said anything about this before.
Well, it ended badly.
How badly?
Are you sure you want to hear this?
Oh, I think I need to hear every last juicy detail.
It was Christmas.
Flashback to a house with a gabled porch.
And like always, I went to my grandmother's in New Britain.
A young Sarah drives up to the house in a white two-door hatchback.
I was a late bloomer, but I had a deep, deep crush on the boy next door.
Ooh, I love where this is going.
As Sarah opens the hatchback, she sees two women.
Miss Raylene, a kismet cookie? I thought you were married.
Wait. Are you saying kismet cookies are real?
Benny, I'm telling you the story once. You can listen or you can interrupt.
Sorry. Keep going.
Raylene.
I'll have you know this cookie is for my niece, who can't see a good man if he's standing right in front of her. Ugh.
What Raylene means is she's sticking her nose where it doesn't belong again.
What about you, Miss Patsy? No cookie for you?
Sarah Collins, you just arrived already with the sass.
We missed you, Sarah. Now get inside. Your Grandma Mia's been baking all day, and she needs you.
Okay.
Sarah's hit with a snowball.
Hey!
What?
A young man stands by a black sports car.
Sounds like you need some silicone spray on those hinges, Sarah Bear.
You know what? You can stop calling me that at any time, because I knew it was a dog, not a bear.
Oh, sure you did. That's why you broke the land speed record getting inside screaming, Bear! Bear!
You done?
How's your bestseller going?
Oh, it's, you know, whatever.
Well, if you need any help brainstorming ideas, just holler at me, okay?
Okay. Wait, no way. You're selling Night Runner.
Yep. Time to grow up, get something a little more practical.
You grow up. That'll be the day.
Hey, Sarah Bear!
He throws a snowball and then puts his hands up.
I'm on to you, Travis Walker.
Sarah walks away. Travis stands by Night Runner as he watches her go. Inside the kitchen, cookies with orange spirals cool on racks. A white woman with long dark hair sifts flour as Sarah enters.
Grandma Mia!
Oh!
Hello!
Oh. Welcome home, darling.
Sarah runs up and gives her a hug.
Oh!
Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Okay, well, don't just stand there. Get yourself an apron and help me with all of this.
Okay.
Oh, you can start by taking those out and put the fresh ones in.
Okay. Have you called the police? Because this place looks like a crime scene.
Oh, you know that it's only on Christmas Eve that my kitchen looks like this.
Okay. How long do I set the timer for?
Read the recipe.
Sarah reads from an old yellowed recipe.
The recipe says take them out when they seem done.
That's right. You know how this works. The kismet doesn't happen unless you really believe in the magic.
Sarah looks in the oven.
Oh, no, don't peek. Use your heart, not your eyes.
Okay. Sorry. I saw Travis on my way in.
Oh, did he tell you his news?
Yeah. I can't believe he's selling it. That car's like his baby.
Grandma Mia looks at her.
I'll get it.
Oh.
Sarah goes to the front door. She opens it to a young white woman with long blonde hair.
Hi, I'm Helen.
Hi, I'm Mia, and this is my granddaughter, Sarah.
Are you here for a kismet cookie?
I guess so. My friend Angie says, I don't know, I'm not a big believer in this kind of stuff.
Well, why don't I tell you the legend, and then you can decide for yourself. Okay, come on in.
Sarah smiles as Helen steps inside.
So, 100 years ago, my great-grandparents moved here, and they bought this house. And before long, there was a wealthy man in town who wanted to marry their daughter, my Nana Sue. Now, the man was very nice, but Nana Sue didn't love him.
And Nana Sue promised her answer by Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, she bumped into this wall and discovered this hidden cabinet. And inside, she found the recipe for kismet cookies. It said if you follow the recipe exactly, you'll dream of your true love.
So she made the cookies, and she wrapped one and put it under her pillow, just like the recipe told her to. And that night, she dreamt about the grocer in town who always made her laugh. So the next morning, she marched into town, and she knocked on his door, and she wanted to know if he had anything to say to her, and it turns out he did. He'd always loved her. But he didn't think he could compete with the wealthy man. So then 2 weeks later, they were married. My Nana Sue and my Grandpa Joe. And ever since then, the cookies have worked.
Okay, I'm sold. It goes under my pillow?
Uh-huh. Tonight. You'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah gives her a cookie in a small red bag with a drawstring. Later at night, Sarah sits in the living room beside a twinkling Christmas tree. She looks out the window. On the street, Travis sprays the hinges of her hatchback. Inside, Grandma Mia enters the room. She watches as Sarah smiles out the window.
What's Travis up to out there?
Oh, nothing. I don't know. Just, I guess, fixing my car.
Well, this is the last kismet cookie of the year.
Grandma, are you looking for love?
Oh, no, honey. No. You know your grandpop was my one and done. The cookie just helps me dream about him.
I wish you'd let me try it.
Oh, I know you do, sweetheart, but it's too soon. This is the time of your life when you should be writing about crushes and sweeping romantic stories in your journal. Besides, it doesn't matter. We've given away all the other cookies. Tomorrow's Christmas.
Sarah watches as Grandma Mia walks away with the last kismet cookie. Sarah looks out the window. She appears lost in thought. Now she enters her bedroom. She sits on the edge of the bed, a string of fairy lights on the headboard. In her hands, she holds a kismet cookie bag. She looks towards the door. She pauses and then slips the bag under her pillow. She pats the cookie bag, puts the pillow over it, and slips into bed. She reaches up and turns off the bedside lamp. The screen goes black. In the morning, Sarah lies asleep in bed. She smiles and then opens her eyes. She sits up. She stares off with a big smile on her face. In the kitchen, Grandma Mia pours orange juice.
Oh, Sarah, Merry Christmas. What would you like for breakfast? I can make anything.
Don't be mad, but I saved a Kismet cookie for myself. I put it under my pillow last night. And I know who my true love is.
Sarah rushes out of the house.
Sarah, wait!
Sarah knocks on a door decorated with a Christmas wreath. The door opens.
Travis.
Hey, Sarah, what are you doing here?
I need to tell you something.
Can it wait?
You know the Kismet cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, last night, I put one under my pillow. I know I wasn't supposed to, but I did. And I dreamt about you. And that means that you're my true love and we're supposed to be together. And I know how that sounds, but I...
Sarah stares at a bride with a small wedding party.
You're getting married?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I should have told you, but... This is a good day for me, okay? Be happy for me. Sarah?
Sarah rushes from the house.
Sarah.
Travis looks at his bride. Now Sarah with Grandma Mia.
I'm sorry, honey.
Sarah runs into the kitchen. She grabs the old recipe and goes to tear it in half.
Oh, Sarah, I understand. I do. And I hate that it broke your heart, but... Be absolutely sure that you don't believe in the Kismet anymore before you do that.
Sarah tears up the recipe. In slow motion, the shreds of recipe fall on the floor. Sarah runs from the room, back to the present with Sarah and Benny.
So Kismet cookies are real?
No, well, clearly they're not. It's a fairy tale I believed in as a kid, and it gave me the idea for the book, but instead of predicting love, in the book, the cookies turn you into a mini superhero. Because that's what I needed to be at the time, strong and confident.
So what happened? The next time you saw the boy next door?
Oh, I didn't. My dad got there soon after. I begged him to take me away, so we went to a ski lodge. Grandma Mia says they moved to Florida a few years ago.
And you haven't been back to New Britain since?
No.
Okay. As your agent, I'm going to advise you never to tell this version of the Kismet story to anyone.
Can we please pick a new winner?
No, it's too late. We've already told the mayor of the town he wants to announce it at some Christmas in the Park thing.
Dickens.
Huh?
Dickens in the Park. A Christmas Carol, Dickens, New Britain, get it? Everyone dresses up.
Love that.
Wait, do they know that Sarah Grace, the author, is really Sarah Collins?
Well, I haven't told anyone, so unless Grandma Mia has...
Grandma Mia doesn't tell anyone anything, clearly.
Perfect. So there's no problem. You can go do the Dickens thing on Saturday. And head over to Grandma Mia's place, lock yourself in. She can feed you, and you can crank out book number two.
I know. First draft by January 3rd.
Don't make it sound unreasonable, my friend. They have given you two very generous extensions.
And I'm close. I swear, I'm 80% done. I just need to figure out the ending.
Benny watches as Sarah hurries away. Now, Sarah opens the back of her car. She places inside a red and white gift bag and then a suitcase. She puts in a soft-sided briefcase and closes the back. Later, she opens the back of the car and takes out the suitcase and briefcase. Her car is parked outside Grandma Mia's house. She looks across the street at Travis's one-story clapboard home. She closes the back of her car. She enters Grandma Mia's house, decorated for Christmas.
Sarah, is that you?
Grandma Mia runs and gives her a hug.
Thank you, and thanks again for keeping this low-key.
What?
Is that our girl?
Raylene and Patsy.
Look at you. So many years. Oh, my God. You've got to come by the candy shop and see all the changes I made.
And I haven't been able to tell any of my customers I know the great Sarah Grace.
Oh, my.
And you know how hard it is for me to keep a secret. I've been in such a state.
You, I mean.
They all hug. Later, Sarah enters her upstairs bedroom. She smiles and looks around with wide eyes.
It's officially a time capsule.
The cozy room is decorated with paper snowflakes hanging above and sparkling fairy lights. Sarah looks around the room. She plops down on the edge of the bed. She stares down at the pillow. She lifts it up. Nothing is under it. She puts it back. She shakes her head.
Sarah, get dressed. We're leaving soon.
They arrive at Dickens in the Park.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Oh, it looks incredible. It's exactly the same.
Patsy and Raylene.
We're here. We couldn't get my hat to stay on. It kept flying off like a frisbee.
So are you ready for this?
Oh, me? No, I'm never ready. No, but my alter ego, Sarah Grace, is just fine. Mm. Oh, which reminds me, we need to take a photo for Benny.
Oh.
Everybody get in. It's Patsy. Get in there.
They all pose.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Is that Mayor Shibley?
Oh, yes. Okay. That's our mayor. Right, Patsy?
Mayor Shibley stands on an upper pedway.
Hello, 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 ladies and gents.
Okay.
I love
cover me. Go next.
So Merry Christmas! And now the moment you've all been waiting for. Here she comes, Sarah Grace, author of Isabella's Kismet Cookies.
Sarah stands at a microphone beside the mayor.
So excited to have you here in New Britain. And you came all dressed up.
Of course. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. I'm so pleased to be here.
She takes out a red envelope.
Ooh, is that what I think it is?
It is. As you know, children from all over the country wrote in, telling me about projects they wanted to do that reflected Isabella's spirit. And the winner's name is in this envelope. Would you do the honors?
I would love to.
He takes the envelope.
Are you ready? And the winner is... Jasmine, come on over here.
A little white girl with a ponytail hugs Sarah.
Hi, Jasmine. I loved your letter. And your book project sounds like it embodies everything I hoped Isabella would mean for kids your age.
I love you so much.
Santa steps up.
Jazzy's had her fingers crossed ever since we found out the winner was from New Britain.
Oh. Father Christmas is my dad.
Mayor Shibley.
Sarah Grace, Jazzy. Would you be willing to pose for a picture for our local paper?
Of course, Jasmine. Wait, do you go by Jazzy?
Yeah.
Oh, you first, Jazzy.
Oh, come on. Let's go.
Jazzy takes Sarah by the hand. They rush over to a Santa sleigh loaded with presents. They climb in and sit down. Jazzy sits between Santa and Sarah. Santa looks at Sarah as the mayor aims his camera.
Okay. Settle in.
They pose. Santa stares at Sarah.
My camera's over here, Father Christmas. Okay. All right. And everybody say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. Thank you, Santa Grace. Thank you, Daddy.
Good job, Jazzy.
Santa helps Jazzy from the sleigh. He takes Sarah's hand.
I remember that smile.
Sarah looks at Santa.
Hey, Sarah, Beth.
Sarah stares at him as her jaw drops.
Sarah
is packing. Grandma Mia.
Sarah? Oh, Sarah, please don't leave. You said you'd stay for Christmas.
Oh, and you said they were in Florida.
No, I said Mr. and Mrs. Walker were in Florida.
Can you split that hair any finer?
Sarah, I realize you're still upset, but darling, it was a lifetime ago.
Raylene and Patsy.
If it makes you feel better, Mia didn't even tell me about the wedding either. I get not telling Raylene, but me.
Say what now? Sarah, wait. It was Travis's story to tell, and he should have told you.
He had a lot on his mind and probably had no idea you were nursing a little crush on him. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Plus, I didn't expect you to hide that cookie. And it's all in the past, darling. And this year, more than any other year, I want to have Christmas in this house.
What do you mean, more than any other year?
Come in!
Jazzy runs in.
Sarah!
Oh. Santa follows behind.
Where'd you go so fast? I can't believe we're neighbors!
We are! Wow! That's news to me, too.
Yeah, I bought the place for my parents when they retired. It was just the easiest thing for all of us.
Right.
Is that yours? Are you leaving already?
Sarah looks down at her suitcase. Santa, Patsy, Raylene, and Grandma Mia all look at her.
No, I haven't unpacked yet. Yeah, I have to carry this upstairs.
I can help you.
Jazzy, I got that. You take the little one. There you go.
It's really unnecessary.
Sarah follows Jazzy and Santa up the stairs. They enter Sarah's bedroom. Santa holds up a package.
Roasted chestnuts still your favorite?
They are. Thank you.
Santa looks at Jazzy.
Go ahead. You can ask her.
Ask me what?
Would you help me with a book project? The one that I wrote to you about?
Books for kids? That's one of my favorite things.
I go to the library every week. Did you used to go there when you lived here?
The library? All the time. But I didn't live here, Jazzy. I just visited for Christmas and in the summers. I stayed here with Grandma Mia, and because she was a teacher, we had the same time off.
Where was your mom?
She died when I was very young.
Jazzy, remember that conversation we had about other people's business not really being yours?
Sorry.
That's okay. Hey, do you want to show me the way to your project?
Yeah.
Santa watches them go. They all make their way downstairs.
When you were little, did you and my dad play together?
Sometimes, but your dad is a lot older than I am.
Hey, 4 years is not a lot older.
It's a lot.
He looks way older than you.
He does, doesn't he? But to be fair, the beard isn't helping.
Yeah.
Grandma Mia watches them leave. She stands beside Raylene and Patsy.
Too early for wine?
That's a rhetorical question, right?
Red or white or both?
Yeah.
Jazzy enters her house.
Come on, everything's up here.
Sarah?
Travis takes off his Santa beard.
I saved with the suitcase. But I get it. I don't blame you for wanting to leave. I'm sure this was all a bit of a surprise to you. But thank you for staying. It means a lot.
Sarah forces a smile.
To Jazzy.
Sarah looks at family photos on the wall.
Jazzy's mom?
Oh, well...
Mommy, too!
Okay, just a second. Just gotta get out of these scratchy Father Christmas duds.
Sarah watches as Travis walks away. She pauses and then looks towards the photos on the wall. Now Travis stands at the bathroom mirror as he buttons a red plaid shirt. He turns towards the distant chatter. He smiles. Now around the Christmas tree with Jazzy and Sarah.
What do you think, runway model, Gorgeous. Oh, it looks better on you even.
Travis appears.
Daddy, when you were little, did you really let a skunk in the house?
I sure did. Right through the front door.
Why?
Beats me. Who knows why 8-year-old boys do anything? The skunk was on the front porch. I opened the door, strolled right in.
And that skunk was the worst thing I've ever smelled in my entire life.
But that wasn't our only close encounter with nature, was it, Sarah Bear?
Why do you call her that?
Hey, let's work on your project first, and then we can tell more embarrassing stories.
They go to the kitchen.
Okay.
If I remember from your letter, your project makes it easy for families to donate books at Christmas.
Yep. It's called Let's Read a Christmas.
Good name.
The kids of New Britain donate books to kids from our sister city who aren't as lucky. They don't have a huge library like we do.
And what are these ornaments we're cutting out?
Kids decorate them and put the name of their gift book on the back. And then they hang them on the Christmas tree in the community center. Families can pick one.
Or two.
Or three, and buy the book to donate. The books get wrapped and donated on Christmas Eve.
And who's wrapping all these books?
Well, Jazzy is very good at volunteering my time.
I noticed that, Father Christmas.
Exactly.
And where are you getting all the books? Are you working with Miss Raylene?
Mm-hmm. Miss Raylene's already picked up a bunch of the most popular titles, and she'll grab some more when she finds out what the kids ask for. She's selling them all at cost, which is great, so...
Well, I can talk to my agent, Benny. I'm sure he can overnight a stack of books.
She texts.
Really? That would be great.
Well, it's good to be Sarah Grace.
Do the book people know your real name?
They do.
But why do you use Sarah Grace instead of Sarah Collins?
Well, when people ask me that, I tell them that Sarah Grace just sounds more elegant, but... The truth is, I first had the idea for the book when I was only 17, and I was very awkward.
No.
Very lonely, and I just wanted to be someone else. Someone who went through life with a lot more grace than I did. So I created an alter ego so I could pretend to be someone who was confident and funny and graceful and just not at all lonely.
But why are we alone?
A lot of reasons. But here's the funny part. It all worked out. And without it, I never would have written Isabella.
Travis looks down and then looks up at Sarah.
I am not making this up, Benny.
On the phone.
So the boy next door is still next door. Is he still breathtakingly handsome?
Even more so. Oh, and you'll never guess who his daughter is.
Stop. The contest winner?
Ding, ding, ding.
Of course she is.
At his laptop.
Well, this just gets better and better. I'm gonna need to see pictures.
No, I cannot make that promise.
Grandma Mia knocks at the bedroom door.
All right, I gotta go.
All right, well, I'm here if you need me. Bye.
Would you like to stop at Patsy's shop with me?
Is that even a question?
Oh,
yes.
It's good to have you home.
Later, they walk towards Patsy's candy corner.
Oh, it looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. And everything tastes just as good as it always did.
Well, I don't know if I trust you on that. I think further testing might be required.
Inside with Patsy.
Chocolate peppermint fudge. I tweaked my recipe last Christmas.
Sarah tries it.
Mmm. This one may be my favorite yet.
Oh, darling, you have said that about every one.
And I've meant it. Miss Patsy, nothing compares to your candy. Come on, spill. What's your secret?
Oh, that's easy. I use the best chocolate, real vanilla, and, of course, my secret ingredient.
What's your secret ingredient?
Love.
Love? That's your secret?
Yes. Love. When people cook or bake these days, they've got to do it as fast as possible so they can get to the 20 other things that need doing, right? Mm-hmm.
But not Patsy. She has a close personal relationship with everything she makes, especially the fudge.
Well, there is love in this cookies and cream. I can tell you that.
Believe me, if there's no love, there's no magic, honey.
Mm.
Just like the Kismet cookies. Well, that and the fact that there's, you know, something a little mysterious about you columns women.
Grandma Mia nods.
Or maybe magic just doesn't exist.
Honey, just because you had a dud batch doesn't mean that other people haven't found true love. Maybe you were just too young, or maybe because you weren't exactly honest with your grandma, you neutralized the magic somehow.
Well, whatever happened, it's gone now. So, are you two ready to meet Raylene for a little tea time?
Mm-hmm.
At a pub.
God bless us, everyone.
Very Dickens.
Raylene.
All right, ladies, let's hear it. What is the dumbest thing you ever did for love? And Sarah, you could sit this one out because we already know about you already.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's favorite wedding crasher, that's me. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went up to a boy that I barely knew in front of his friends, and I told him that he's gonna marry me because I put a cookie under my pillow and then I had a dream about it.
I remember that.
That same move didn't exactly work for me.
No.
Well, these cookies don't come with a guarantee.
I don't think I've ever done anything really stupid for love.
What?
Oh. Don't worry about that. There's still time.
Yeah, all right.
Mayor Shibley appears.
Hello, ladies.
Oh,
hi.
Speak of the devil.
Sarah Grace, you're just who I've been looking for. I come hat in hand to ask if you would mind being part of our holiday scavenger hunt tomorrow.
Scavenger hunt?
Oh, yes. You could be the answer to one of the clues.
Yeah.
People get a list of riddles to solve, and then they take a picture of the answer, and the first person to take all the correct photos wins.
Fun. I'd love to help. Where should I hide?
Well, my bookstore isn't on the list yet.
Perfect. Can you be there at 10?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, Albert, before I forget, I've got your favorite, cookies and cream.
Thank you.
The others smile.
I really need to figure out a way to pay you back for all the sweets you give me.
Oh, maybe you could invite her to dinner.
Patsy glares at Raylene and then nudges her. Patsy shares an awkward look with the mayor.
All righty then. See you at the scavenger hunt tomorrow.
See you.
We have a definite maybe. To the dinner.
Dinner.
Later, at a community center, Travis and Jazzy decorate a tree with Sarah.
In my defense, Jazzy, it was very dark, and Boomer was a large black dog, so he looked just like a bear, and he was running directly towards me.
Jazzy, I have seen Olympic qualifying track meets where people did not run as fast as Sarah did, okay?
Is that where you got the idea for the bear character in Isabella?
It sure is.
I can't wait for you to finish the next Isabella book.
You and me both.
Across the room, a young girl waves at Jazzy.
Hey,
Who's that?
She's new in town. I'm gonna go say hi.
She runs over to the girl.
Do you know who that is?
You don't suppose she's telling her that I'm Sarah Grace and my grandmother lives across the street?
Probably, seeing as how she's told everybody else in town. You know, maybe you should start wearing sunglasses, and then I could walk in front of you and be like, excuse me, Miss Sarah Grace has no comment at this time.
That would be perfect. Hey, okay. That would be really good.
Okay.
Later in the twinkling town square, Sarah and Jazzy walk with Travis.
So Jazzy has been writing Isabella stories.
Dad!
What?
Look, I'm just glad that someone's giving Isabella some new adventures.
Is that okay? To write stories? I mean, no one else reads them.
Of course, it's called fan fiction. I used to write a lot of it when I was your age, especially about my favorite book.
A Wrinkle in Time.
Sorry, how do you remember that?
I was your sounding board, remember?
Well, yeah.
When Sarah would get stuck, we'd go to the end of the pier and just talk the story out. Spent a lot of time brainstorming.
Did you help write the stories?
Me? No, no. I just listened.
That's not true. You gave suggestions sometimes.
Yeah, but you would never take them.
Oh, I didn't say they were good suggestions.
Hmm.
Wait, how do you know that I never took them?
Because I read every single one of your stories.
What?
Yeah, don't you remember? You kept them in a notebook in that tree in the backyard?
You mean the book marked Private, Keep Out, Especially Travis?
That's the one. I thought you meant some other Travis.
Oh. Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Snow begins to fall as they arrive outside Grandma Mia's house.
Sarah, are you coming to the scavenger hunt tomorrow?
Well, I'm in the scavenger hunt, so I'll see you there, if you can find me.
All right, kiddo. It's getting pretty late. Why don't you head home, get into some PJs, and I'll be right there, okay?
Can we have book time?
One chapter.
Jazzy smiles and walks away.
Look both ways when you're crossing the street.
Got it, Dad. You see that every time.
When she started reading on her own, we kind of missed our nightly book time, so now we read side by side.
That is unbearably sweet.
Yeah, but we blow through books at a crazy rate. Thank goodness for library cards, huh?
Yeah, if only you'd used the library instead of reading my notebook when it was very clearly marked not for Travis.
You want to know the crazy thing? Your fan fiction was so good that I ended up checking out the original books at the library. You are actually the reason I got my first library card. You know, Sarah, I just wanted to say that...
Come on, Dad!
Jazzy calls from her porch.
These books aren't gonna read themselves!
Who is this kid?
Don't ask me, it's all you.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm staying here.
Right.
Then you're at...
Okay.
Travis walks away. Sarah winces. She shakes her head and rolls her eyes. The mayor.
Hear ye, hear ye. Welcome to the Christmas scavenger hunt. Hurry up and grab a piece of paper if you don't already have one.
Travis looks at Jazzy.
Now you know the rules. Follow the clues. Take a picture of each answer.
Where's Sarah?
Well, she could be anywhere. That's part of the fun. Okay, look at the first clue. The teller of stories.
That's her.
Mm-hmm. In the place filled with stories.
They look at each other and then look across the town square at the bookmark shop.
She's totally there.
Totally.
The first team back with a complete set of photographs wins a pound of assorted fudge from the candy corner.
I want that fudge.
That fudge is ours.
They share a secret handshake.
On your marks.
You got this.
Get set. Go!
The crowd scatters as Travis and Jazzy race towards the bookshop. A man selling roasted chestnuts stands alone in the deserted square. The bookshop.
Okay, okay. I'm coming.
Jazzy looks both ways and runs down an aisle of books. Travis discovers Sarah reading a book in an easy chair. He sits beside her.
I knew I'd find you here.
Where's Jazzy?
She's looking for you, tearing the place up.
Sarah holds up a copy of A Wrinkle in Time.
Just as good as I remember.
Ah, looking for a little inspiration?
Always. But I do have a few ideas, which is exciting.
That is exciting. I mean, it makes sense. When you were in New Britain last time, you got inspired for the book. So now that you're back in town, maybe it'll inspire you again.
Jazzy runs over.
Gotcha! Take your picture, Dad, please.
Good job.
We'll get the whole team.
Right.
Travis takes a selfie.
Say cheese.
Cheese.
Jazzy and Travis peek down an aisle as two girls arrive.
Did you let them follow us? Have I taught you nothing about competitive scavenger hunting?
I'm sorry. I tried to throw them off our trail.
All right, well, you're grounded.
Okay, what's the next clue?
Jazzy reads.
A red wreath where you might find a spotted dog.
She looks at Travis.
Fire station.
Go, 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 go. Good luck.
Bye.
They run away. Later, outside his house, Travis hangs a wreath on the front grill of a minivan. Sarah gets out of her red sedan.
Nice minivan.
Hey, now, Moonboat is a great ride.
Moonboat?
Yeah. She's the color of the moon, about as big as a cruise liner. So moon, boat, get it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you coming to the community center later? Father Christmas is going to be there.
Then I'll definitely be there. Plus, I have to see how Jazzy's book tree's going.
Oh, yeah. She is convinced that out of all the ornaments on that tree, you are going to pick hers.
Well, I will do my best.
Good. Here's a pro tip. Hers has a big glittery J on it.
That should do it. Thanks.
Hey, Sarah Bear.
He throws a snowball. Sarah ducks.
I'm still on to you, Travis Walker.
She smiles at him and walks away. Now she walks into the kitchen with Grandma Mia.
One thing they don't tell you about owning a house is that you will be constantly cleaning a kitchen. I mean, even if no one's home, you'll be cleaning the kitchen.
Well, I've heard that in some parts of the world, people can leave a dirty spoon in the sink for up to 30 minutes and the earth just continues to spin on its axis.
Oh, that is absolutely not true. I mean, civilization as we know it would end.
Are these your cookbooks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, take whichever ones you want.
Why are you decluttering?
I just have too much stuff. So are you rekindling things with Travis?
There's no rekindling. Something has to be kindled in the first place before it can be rekindled.
Grandma Mia smiles and nods. Now at the community center with Raylene.
Hey, Sarah, please thank your agent for me. 5 monster boxes of books arrived today.
Oh, good.
I'm glad a lot of them are Isabella. Now that everyone knows that Sarah Grace is our hometown hero, they're even more popular. Do you want to come by later and sign some of them?
I can do that.
Oh, that's...
Miss Raylene, what's the story with the mayor and Miss Patsy?
Oh, those two.
They watch them.
They were high school sweethearts, and then Patsy left, went off to college, started her career. The mayor lost his wife a few years back, so he came home to New Britain.
There's serious chemistry there.
Well, that's the problem. They're such great friends. I think both of them were worried about torpedoing their friendship. I'll tell you what. I wish there was some way you Collins women could make those Kismet cookies again this year. Then maybe we would find out once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Jazzy! Oh, your tree's a hit. I want to give someone a book for Christmas. Can I pick one?
Yes.
Yeah?
At the tree.
I think I want...
She finds the J ornament.
Want this one.
That's mine.
Is it seriously? Let's see what book you asked for Christmas. Isabella's new book.
I know you can do it. You're the best writer in the world.
Jazzy hugs her. Sarah looks off and sighs. Later in the town square, Santa Travis reads.
And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that be truly said of us.
Sarah and Jazzy smile in the crowd.
And all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, everyone.
He motions to the crowd.
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Santa Travis makes his way through the crowd to Jazzy and Sarah.
Excellent work. Thank you.
Jazzy hugs him.
Great work, Daddy.
Thank you, Jazzy. And that concludes my duties as Dickens Day Father Christmas. I will be very happy to let somebody else wear this itchy thing next year.
But you've become so civic-minded.
Parenthood, man. All right, I'm gonna go get changed. I'll catch you later.
Hope so.
He walks away. Sarah turns as a woman with long blonde hair approaches.
My name's Helen. You probably don't remember me.
No, I remember you. You came by for a cookie.
Yeah. You know, I was skeptical about the kismet. Sleep with a cookie under my pillow, that's just goofy. But I did it. And I dreamed of my husband that night.
A man stands in the crowd with a baby.
So when I met him the next year, I knew he was the one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little one.
Two children. Christopher's in the candy shop with my mom. And that's July.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I cannot believe that crazy cookie worked. But it did. It was magic. I just wish your grandmother hadn't stopped making them. We need all the kismet we can get. Thank you.
Sarah watches as Helen walks away. Her smile fades as she appears to think about something. She turns and walks away. Above on the town square pedway, Jazzy is crouched by the railing, looking down. Travis.
Come on in.
With Sarah.
Oh, what are you doing?
Oh, these are some, not even all of the books that Jazzy brought home for her project. She was bravely trying to wrap them. She got about three in and then fell fast asleep on the table. I just put her down, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, give me some paper. I can help.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
We don't have the Isabella books yet because Miss Raylene said you were going over tomorrow to sign them.
Yes, I am. But I need to talk to you.
She holds the J card.
What am I supposed to do about this? Jazzy wants to gift the new Isabella book, and I don't know, wrapping up a little IOU feels like a major Scrooge move.
Okay. Well, this may be a radical idea, but hear me out on this.
Okay.
Jazzy doesn't always have to get exactly what she wants. I know. Crazy idea.
Then I don't want to disappoint her.
Honestly, she was probably just trying to encourage you, not put pressure on you. It just feels like pressure because there's already so much on you.
No. Here's the thing, Travis. I don't feel inspired much anymore. And if I'm not a writer, I don't know who I am.
Travis watches her with soft eyes.
I can't believe I just confessed that to you.
Well, I'm your oldest friend. If you can't tell me, who can you tell?
Sarah looks at him. Travis smiles back and then looks down.
Bet you probably never thought of it that way, huh?
No, I didn't.
So, listen, I've got this pound of fudge that we won from the scavenger hunt.
Wait, you won?
Yeah, of course we won. What, did you doubt us?
No, of course not.
You want to break into it?
Oh, I'm good, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I'm good. Yeah, good and at breaking into it, yeah.
She unties a blue ribbon.
Never fails.
Later, Grandma Mia walks into her living room.
Sarah, I'm going to go to town to run some errands. Do you need anything?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Grandma Mia, do you remember Helen? She was the woman who came by for a cookie the last time we made them.
Oh. Was she the one that was really skeptical?
She was, yeah. I saw her at the Dickens Festival yesterday.
Oh.
With her husband, the man she dreamt of that night.
Hmm. So,
Grandma Mia sits beside her.
So what do you think that means?
I mean, if her kismet worked for sure.
And maybe the cookies worked.
And I wish that I had never.
Sarah looks at her and then turns away.
I feel like when I ripped up that recipe, I broke a connection to this town and our house and even to you.
Grandma Mia hugs her.
Sarah, are you kidding me? Oh, darling, you could never break a connection to me. I love you forever and ever. And ever.
Sarah watches her walk to the front door.
But still,
Don't mess up my kitchen while I'm gone.
Sarah smiles. Grandma Mia smiles back and then steps out of the house. Sarah answers her lavender-colored phone.
Benny?
Nice picture. Jasmine is adorable.
But listen, we gotta talk shop.
I had a meeting with Hal today, and he said,
if you don't meet the deadline this time...
I'm sorry, but he's gonna bring in a ghostwriter to finish the book.
Sarah sits holding the phone. She stares off and drops her shoulders. Later, on a long pier, a white man with a gray beard walks a terrier. At a railing on the pier, Sarah looks out over the water. Suddenly, Travis appears and holds out a pink and green lollipop. He smiles at Sarah.
It's our brainstorming spot.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd find you here.
Well, all these years and this view hasn't changed. Also, why are you wearing that uniform?
Because I work for the Forestry Service for 6 years now.
Huh.
It's my day job. That's how I make a living in between all the volunteering gigs that Jazzy signs me up for.
Huh.
Man, Grandma Mia really didn't tell you anything about me, did she?
No. And I think Grandma Mia is keeping more secrets.
Is that why you're here?
No. I heard from Benny. It's not good. They might hire a ghostwriter.
Really? Oh, that is not good. How close to being done are you?
I'm pretty close. I'd say 80%. But the ending does not make sense, and I just can't find it.
So, let me get this straight. You decided to tackle this issue by walking down here and not writing?
Well, escape has always been my favorite form of self-preservation, as you well know.
She walks away.
Oh, I remember.
Sarah sits on a bench. Travis walks up to her.
You know...
He sits beside her.
Way back then, if you had asked me to predict what your life would become, I could have nailed it. Successful writer, traveling around, beloved. My life? This is not what I would have predicted. But I'm good. You know? Christmas always makes me sentimental, I'm sorry.
How long did your marriage last?
Not very long.
Where's she now?
Crystal is traveling around with her band, living the life she loves. So am I. But she checks in a lot. Jazzy knows her mom loves her. There's no bad guys here, Sarah. There's just a lot of people who care about one amazing little girl.
You turned out to be a good dad, Travis Walker.
Thanks. But sometimes I think I try too hard. I mean, I don't have to be Father of the Year every year.
Right, well, you have been known to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. Only since birth.
Okay, so here's the deal. Jazzy's been invited to a sleepover. It's her first one, and I don't think she should go because she's too young, but she desperately wants to go.
You didn't do sleepovers at that age?
Yeah, of course I did, but this is completely different. Except for I know it's not.
Sarah nods. She smiles and laughs.
All right. They don't pay me to sit around enjoying the view with a beautiful woman. I'm out of here.
He stands up.
Hey, thanks for the lollipop.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Oh, and if you're around later, you could come with as I surrender my innocent child into the hands of complete strangers.
I'll be your rock.
Thank you.
He turns away. Sarah throws a snowball. It hits him on the back.
Are you kidding me? A snowball? Man, some people never grow up, I guess.
He brushes snow off his shoulder and walks away. Travis's van pulls into the driveway of a two-story clapboard home.
Okay, Jazzy, this is a big moment in your life.
Okay, bye!
Okay, well, have fun. But don't be afraid to call me if you feel scared. I love you!
Okay.
She runs to a girl on the porch.
Hey, I am so excited. This is going to be the best sleepover ever.
Travis waves to the girl's mother.
They're nice people, right? Right?
Ooh. I ran a background check on the family.
Me too.
I did, and then I ran their prints.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Entire family squeaky clean.
Really? No parking tickets?
None. Then I called up old friends where they used to live, and I got personal recommendations for all of them.
Thank you.
She's not going to last all night. She's going to call me around 10 o'clock.
Travis?
She's gonna, yes?
Start Moonboat and get out of here. You can't stay parked here. It's very creepy.
You're right. Okay. I got to pick up that tree anyways.
Wait.
What?
You didn't get a tree yet?
No. My Father Christmas responsibilities were greater than expected, so I didn't have time. I'm going to go get it now, but first I'm going to drop you off at home so you can write.
Okay. Fair enough. Wait, hold on.
What?
She checks her phone.
I need you to drop me at the bookmark instead. I need to sign those books.
The bookshop with Mia, Raylene, and Patsy.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sarah arrives.
I'm here. What's going on?
Slight situation. The mayor invited Patsy to Christmas dinner.
Oh, sweet.
Raylene shakes her head.
I mean, not good. Very bad. Well, Albert and I have been best of friends for years now. Okay, well, maybe he's inviting you to join him as a friend because you're alone and he has a whole turkey.
Do you know Ethel Kay owns a jewelry shop?
No.
Well, she's good people. And she told Mary Alice, who told Carol, who told me, that our mayor was shopping for an expensive necklace.
Oh, God. And that's a bad thing?
Well, a necklace is gateway jewelry.
I'm sorry. What?
It's gateway jewelry. He gives her the necklace. If she likes it, he tries a bracelet. Mm. Or maybe ups the ante and goes straight for the diamond ring. Oh, you could be engaged by New Year's.
Oh!
I need to know if Albert is the one or if I'm just some crazy old lady with delusions of finding true love again. Patsy and I were hoping Mia could bake Kismet cookies again. Just one batch. So she could be sure before she heads over there for Christmas dinner.
Unfortunately, I just can't do it from memory. I mean, that was a very complicated recipe.
I'm sorry I ripped up the recipe when I was a teenager.
Oh, no, that's okay.
That's okay, Sugar. We know your feelings were bruised. But Kismet cookies are a part of Mia. A part of your house, a part of this town. And like it or not, a part of you.
I know. But they're also not real. We all know that, right?
Grandma Mia looks at her. Patsy.
Mia, what do you think?
I think our house gave Nana Sue that recipe 100 years ago for a reason. And I think if we're supposed to have that recipe again this year, then we will.
But
right now you have a big box of books to sign. So come on, you get started and the rest of us will wrap as you go.
We will.
Okay.
Later, Sarah sits by Grandma Mia's Christmas tree, typing on her laptop.
What should we do, Isabella? Everyone asked. Isabella said...
She stops typing.
I don't know.
She walks to the front door. She opens it to Travis.
Hey.
He holds up three shopping bags.
Christmas crisis.
What's wrong?
Jazzy wants a sweater for Christmas.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure the window of time in which I, as her father, can successfully select her clothing or anything else is rapidly closing. Soon I will know nothing about sweaters or anything else.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
So.
Okay.
Option one.
He holds up a tiger print sweater. Sarah winces.
No. Okay. That's fair. Number two.
Bright yellow checks.
Nice sweater.
Yeah.
Atrocious color. You could put a golden retriever puppy in this sweater. No one looked cute.
Okay. Well, we're down to number three.
A white long-sleeved sweater.
And the third one was just right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, I'm gonna return these other two before the store closes. Thank you.
Okay. You know what? I'm not getting any work done here, so I could come with you.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, returns are like, they could be really challenging.
Okay.
An aerial view of Main Street with twinkling Christmas lights. Sarah walks beside Travis.
Thanks again for this.
Of course.
Are you sure about the scarf?
Absolutely, 100%. She'll love it. But keep the receipt just in case.
Travis checks his phone.
Oh, did she text you?
Not yet.
Well, she's not going to. She's having fun.
They arrive outside a pub.
Oh, Christmas trivia.
Oh, that gift certificate would make an excellent stocking stuffer for a certain bookworm I know.
Okay, well, should we go win it for her?
They walk down some stairs into the pub, where they sit near an MC.
Next category is Christmas movies. Number one, Christmas isn't Christmas until Hans Gruber falls from Nakatomi Plaza. Name the movie.
Sarah writes down the answer.
So did you get your tree yet?
Mm-mm. I got caught in sweater limbo.
So weird that you don't have a tree.
Are you judging Father Christmas?
No, I'm judging a guy who works in the forestry service. I don't know, I feel like maybe you saw a nice tree or two in the past few weeks.
I feel like you're taking a tone here.
I'm not taking a tone.
I think you're taking a tone.
Question two. A young boy tries to obtain an article of clothing for his sick mother. Name the movie.
Oh.
Christmas Shoes.
Wait. Are you sure? Isn't that one where there's like...
Are you questioning my Christmas movie expertise here?
You're right. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Never.
Travis checks his phone.
Ah, there she is. Text from Jazzy. You ready to go pick her up?
Travis looks at Sarah.
Can I go skating with them tomorrow? Are you laughing at me?
I'm just saying, you know, at the risk of stating the obvious, you've raised a happy, well-adjusted kid who's starting her second decade of life in which her main purpose is separating from you.
Was that intended to make me feel better? Because...
Look, I'm just saying, with all the expertise that comes from, you know, never actually having my own kid, maybe you could just relax a little. I don't know, you're a good dad, and the criteria for that changes over time, and maybe this is one of those times.
The MC.
Okay, here we go. In this modern day Dickens tale, Bill Murray plays the star character.
Scrooge.
Sarah and Travis look at each other face to face. Sarah smiles.
Definitely Scrooged.
She writes down the answer as Travis watches her.
That is when Isabella said something.
Sarah sits at her laptop by the Christmas tree.
Something cool.
She looks over at two boxes of books marked Donate and Keep. She gets up and rushes to the front door.
What's up?
Good. You're awake and dressed.
It's 9 in the morning.
Yeah, but I know how you creative types are. Up all night living on coffee and chocolate.
Oh, well, I know how small towns are. You better be dressed by 9 with the front room picked up.
Okay, you're gonna need your coat and your boots.
Wait, what?
Let's go.
Where are we going?
Well, it's Christmas Eve tomorrow.
Yeah?
Well, remember that whole Travis doesn't have a Christmas tree yet fiasco? Let's go cut one down.
Now?
What, are you working?
Sort of.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought.
Come on, you can help me pick one out. We'll put your boots on the porch.
This is very abrupt.
Later in the minivan.
We left town at least half an hour ago. We're passing lots of trees. Lots of trees, I'm just saying.
Look, there's a science to this.
They pull up to a log cabin with a second floor gable.
So how does this choppy down tree thingy work? Do we just pick one?
Choppy down tree thingy?
Writers have a way with words.
Well, first, you're gonna need gloves.
Look at that. You actually keep gloves in your glove compartment.
Yeah. You don't?
I live in New York. I don't even have a car.
Right.
They step out of the minivan.
Oh, wow. Travis, this is gorgeous.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah, and everything is so quiet.
Well, if it makes you feel more at home, I could honk the horn, yell at you to get out of the way. Hey, I'm walking here. Does that do anything for you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Are you sure whoever owns this cabin is cool with us cutting down one of their trees? Because I've seen scary movies that start this way.
Oh, yeah. We go way back. He doesn't mind.
Sarah gives a quizzical look.
Come on. Let's go cut down a tree.
He holds an axe.
Okay.
Later in the woods.
And what's the bear population like here? Just asking for a friend.
There's a few.
Do you always cut down your own tree?
No, but I started so late this year, I figure I better finish strong.
Ooh, that one, over there.
She slips on a snowbank.
Ooh.
Travis catches her from the back. Sarah turns and they gaze into each other's eyes.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
They smile at each other.
Okay. So, which tree did you risk your life for?
That one.
You sure?
100%.
Travis holds up the axe.
All right. Have at her.
Oh, you wanted... I don't know if I mentioned, but in New York, I kind of, like, do writing-based activities.
All right, all right.
Circulation.
I see.
Travis walks up to the tree.
You sure?
It's perfect.
Later, Travis ties the tree to the top of the minivan.
It really is a great tree. When my writing career dries up, I could be a lumberjack. Or is it Lumberjill?
Can I show you something?
Sure.
The reason I know the owner doesn't mind us chopping down a tree is because my great-uncle Steve used to own this place.
Oh.
They step into the cozy cabin.
So, my uncle Steve passed 2 years ago.
2 years? He must have had a great housekeeper.
Well, here, can I take your jacket?
Okay, yeah.
He takes her jacket and scarf.
Sure. Thank you.
Sarah sees on a dining table a small stack of spiral notebooks and pens.
Travis?
Yeah?
What's going on?
She sits at the table.
Well, I inherited the place.
This is yours?
It is.
But I don't remember you having a family cabin as a kid.
Well, my Uncle Steve wasn't the friendliest guy, but he worked in forestry, so when I joined up, we became closer, and he left the place to me.
Jazzy must love it here.
Yeah, she does. Oh, that reminds me. Can I see your phone?
Sarah hands him her phone.
Thank you.
He puts it in the pocket of his jeans.
May I have that back?
No, you may not.
Travis, what are we doing here? I need to get back and write.
Okay, look. Last night, I was thinking about your writer's block, and I was driving myself crazy trying to think of a way to help you, and this is what I came up with.
I don't understand.
Look, obviously I can't finish your book for you, but I can clear the road. I can feed you, and I can be here to bounce ideas off of. Just like we used to. I just figured this was a lot warmer than our brainstorming bench.
But...
What?
But what about Jazzy?
Jazzy? She's 10. She can fend for herself. Grandma Mia's gonna pick her up after a sleepover. They're gonna do some last-minute shopping, and they're gonna help out at the candy corner. This whole thing is a group effort, Sarah.
But I don't have my laptop.
Well, you didn't have a laptop when you wrote before. I bet you didn't even have it when you wrote Isabella.
Well, you're right. I didn't.
He picks up the box of fudge.
We're going old school here, Sarah. And I picked this up, so we're stocked.
He unpacks plastic bags of craft supplies.
What are you doing?
I'm making a garland for the tree. It's kind of a family tradition.
You're making a garland?
Yes, Sarah. I have a daughter now, and I do crafts. This is me. But quit stalling. Tell me what you got so far. Come on.
Okay. Well, I left off when Roger was having some issues.
In the cabin with Sarah.
Roger helping Isabella find her kismet was genius.
Thank you.
Snow gently falls outside as they sit at the table. Travis works on the wreath. Sarah turns pages of the spiral notebook. Travis looks at her.
What?
Sarah smiles and writes on the bottom of a page.
What? No. Are you kidding?
Sarah holds up the notebook with the words, "The end."
All right! Yes!
Travis spins her around.
Yes! You did it. Congratulations.
Oh, we did it. Thank you. I'm going to type this up when I get home and send it to Penny in the morning.
Okay.
Travis checks his phone.
It's my daughter texting from Grandma Mia's phone, asking me politely where her Christmas tree is.
We should go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll get the fire.
I'll clean this up.
Okay.
Later at Grandma Mia's, Sarah sits on her bed at her laptop. She loads an attachment to an email. She smiles and raises her fists. She makes a call on her phone. At his desk, Benny answers his phone.
It's Christmas Eve, you know. I have a life.
No, you don't. Besides, I have a Christmas present for you. You can open it early.
What is it?
She presses send on the laptop.
Check your email.
Benny checks his laptop. He clicks on Sarah's email with the heading, Merry Christmas. Benny opens the attachment.
Oh, if you were here right now, I would hug you.
Can you read it right away? Because I think it's good, but I'm a writer, so I'm also needy and thin-skinned.
Yes, you are. And yes, I can.
Okay, bye.
Wait.
Wait. Did Travis help with this?
He took me to a charming cabin in the woods, confiscated my phone, and fed me fudge and coffee till I was done.
That man is a walking, talking chef's kiss.
So maybe that cookie was right after all.
Read the book, Benny.
Reading right now.
Sarah puts down her phone and smiles. She pulls back sheer curtains and looks out the window. Across the street, Travis spins Jazzy around. She hugs him. Sarah watches them. She looks away and then turns back to them. She smiles. Travis looks towards the house. Sarah pulls away from the window. She sits with her eyes closed and smiles. Now she steps out of her bedroom. In the hallway, she discovers a box of items marked garage sale. Sarah makes her way downstairs.
We should see her sing.
Sarah stops and listens.
You'd be so proud of her.
Sarah peeks into the living room.
And she's here for Christmas.
Grandma Mia sits by the tree. She gazes at a picture frame she holds in her hands.
I missed you every day.
Sarah watches as Grandma Mia holds the frame to her chest. Sarah steps into the room. Grandma Mia looks up and sees her.
Oh. Good morning, darling.
Morning, Graham.
Grandma Mia stands up. She puts the framed photo on the mantle above the fireplace.
I get a little sentimental on Christmas Eve. Listen, I have some errands to run, but I won't be gone long.
Okay.
Oh, Raylene called. Patsy's in a tizzy. She doesn't know what to bring to the mayor's house. So duty calls. Okay, see you later.
See you.
Sarah watches as Grandma Mia leaves. She takes a deep breath. Now in the kitchen, Sarah stares at the cabinet door in the wall as she drinks from a mug. She puts it on the counter. She stares at the cabinet door.
Okay. You amazing, amazing house. I'm in a pickle here. It's Christmas Eve. And I want to give my grandma the one thing that she really wants, which is to dream of Grandpa again. And Patsy needs help too. And this might be our last chance because I think my grandmother is leaving us both.
She nods her head, closes her eyes, and takes a deep breath.
And if I'm being honest, I want to see if I dream of Travis again.
She squints her eyes as she slides open the cabinet door. Inside is the recipe taped together. Sarah stares at it. And then smiles. She reaches into the cabinet and takes out the recipe. Her jaw drops as she stares at the recipe in her hands, stuck together with sellotape. She puts the recipe on the counter.
Okay.
Later in their living room, Travis and Jazzy decorate the tree. Jazzy holds up an angel ornament.
Can I see if Sarah wants to help us put the angel on top of the tree?
Yeah, seems only fair since she picked out the tree.
Jazzy hands him the angel and runs to the front door. Grandma Mia's house.
Sarah?
In the kitchen.
Sarah, do you want to help us with the angel on the...
Jazzy stops and stares.
You made Kismet cookies?
I did.
Are those the true love kind?
Yes, they are. I'm going to deliver one to a friend. I'll catch up with you later, okay?
Sarah walks towards the front door. Jazzy stares at the cookies and the small red bags arranged on a tray. She follows Sarah out of the house. Now Sarah walks towards Patsy's candy shop. Inside, Patsy serves customers.
Half a pound of peppermint crunch.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Sarah!
You look like someone who could use some more fudge.
Sarah smiles as she holds up a cookie bag.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, my. It looks exactly the way I remember it. Oh, honey. But how did you...
Well, Grandma Mia was right. We were meant to have that recipe.
She holds the bag out to Patsy.
Oh.
Patsy hugs her.
Sweet dreams, Miss Patsy.
Oh, thank you.
Later in the town square with Travis and Sarah.
I might have a service issue in the square or something.
If you squeeze that phone any tighter, it's going to turn to dust.
Well, I just don't know what's taking Benny so long. I feel like you really must hate it.
Oh, yeah, that's the only possible explanation.
Benny appears.
Unless, of course, he's already here, and you just happen to randomly bump into him.
Benny? What are you doing here?
I have to meet family tomorrow, so I added a stop. Because we need to talk. I read the manuscript.
Okay.
And it's...
Sarah stares at him.
Spectacular.
Oh!
I'm sorry, that was so mean.
Stop.
It is every
Benny!
Bit as good as the first. Dare I say, better?
Oh, so sorry. Travis, Benny, Travis.
Hi, it's nice to finally meet you.
You too.
They shake hands and smile.
Benny, I cannot believe that you're here. Do you need to stay with us?
No, I booked at the B&B. I have an early flight. I just wanted to see your face in real life when I told you. And I wanted to see...
He looks at Benny.
...this town. And maybe finally meet Grandma Mia?
Oh, okay. Well, I think that could be arranged. Come on.
Benny and Travis follow her out of the square. Later, Sarah walks towards Grandma Mia's house with Benny.
So wait, did you actually bake Kismet cookies?
Yeah, I did.
But I thought the recipe was...
Don't even. I can't explain it.
Well, did you save me one?
Seriously? You want to try it?
Jaded literary agents need love too, you know.
They enter the house. Sarah stops when she sees Grandma Mia seated by the Christmas tree. She gazes off, holding a mug.
You know, I'm going to go back to the B&B and make some calls.
I'll text you later.
Okay.
Benny leaves. Sarah enters the living room.
Grandma Mia?
Hey, darling.
Hey.
Hi.
Sarah sits down beside her.
I found the recipe.
I know.
Grandma Mia's kitchen with Sarah.
Hey, where are the cookies?
They're gone. I mean, you told Patsy, so Patsy told Raylene, and Raylene told everyone.
Yes, seriously, it was like old times again for a few minutes. I mean, there was a line out the door.
I forgot how much I missed it.
Well, we can do it next year, right? We can bake all day.
Grandma Mia sighs. Sarah's smile fades.
You're selling the house, aren't you? That's why you're sorting everything.
Yeah, I am.
Are you okay? Please be okay. I really need you to be okay.
Oh my gosh, I am so okay. I'm fine, darling. I'm fit as ever. I just miss teaching. I miss helping children. So I've signed up for a program for seniors teaching English abroad. I just didn't know how to tell you.
Okay. What about the house?
Oh, it's just too much for me now.
But the Kismet needs a Collins woman here, I think.
I suppose you're right, but maybe this really is the end.
I guess Patsy will have our last Kismet cookie.
Except?
Grandma Mia goes to a cupboard. She opens it and takes out a red cookie bag decorated with a bell.
I saved one for you, in case you wanted it.
No, you keep it. I made it for you, so I want you to dream of Grandpop again.
Grandma Mia smiles. She looks at the bag and then at Sarah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Thank you, darling.
They hug.
I love you.
Later at Travis's house, he sits by the Christmas tree with Sarah.
Did you know that she was planning to sell the house?
Well, I suspected, but I didn't know she was going to go teach. It's kind of excellent.
Well, I know, but...
What? What?
What about the Kismet? When I was little, I just knew that it was all real. Like, the cookies, and that we were special. But when I...
You had the dream about me.
Yeah, it all pretty much crashed down.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking that it was just some fluff that my family told and the whole town went along with it.
But now...
Now I don't know what to think. I mean, this town and the cookies and I don't know, all the people, like... It feels like home again.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, I don't even want to tell you how long I spent struggling to write the second book. Like, struggling. But I come here and, wow, suddenly...
A red notebook.
There are ideas in here that I've written down for the next 3 Isabella books. Mm-hmm. 3. I don't want my grandmother to sell her house. I don't want some stranger living there.
I don't want some stranger living there either. I want you living there.
Me?
Yeah. I bet Grandma Mia would give you a great deal on the place.
Oh, well, I'm leaving soon. So, my life's in New York.
But, Sarah...
Travis takes her hand.
What if... that cookie was right all those years ago? If I promised not to marry anyone tomorrow morning, would you stick around and... maybe we could find out.
They look into each other's eyes. Sarah pulls away.
I can't not do this right now. I don't, good night, Travis.
Sarah.
No, good night.
Hey.
She rushes from the house.
Sarah, wait. Sarah.
Travis stands alone. A nighttime view of Main Street. Christmas lights twinkling. Sarah walks with Benny.
So we're back to believing that Kismet's real.
Probably. I don't know. Maybe.
But all the cookies are gone, so you can't prove your theory.
Right.
Is it too late to bake another batch?
Well...
She checks the time on her phone.
1:15 a.m. Merry Christmas.
Well, it seems like you have 2 choices. 1, you come back to New York and make your agent very happy. You stay single, maybe you get writer's block again, and some stranger moves into Grandma Mia's house. Or 2, you move here, to this cute town that inspires you, in a house that you seem to share DNA with, and the handsome guy you've loved since you were a kid, who clearly feels something too. It's a cripplingly difficult decision, I know.
But Benny...
But Sarah.
What if none of it's real?
Oh, but what if it all is?
Sarah stares at him. Benny turns and walks away. Morning at Grandma Mia's house. Sarah lies asleep in bed. She smiles and then opens her eyes. She sits up. She stares off with a big smile on her face. Downstairs, she rushes up to Grandma Mia, seated on the floor by the tree.
Christmas, darling.
Merry
Sarah.
Christmas. Grandma Mia, I have 2 questions for you.
Okay.
Did you dream of Grandpa?
All night. Oh.
Then the recipe worked.
Yeah.
Mia nods her head.
Okay, 2nd question then. How many cookies did you give away last night?
All of them.
But how many?
7 or 8. Why?
Well, I made 12. So 1 for you, 1 for Patsy. But that means that there were 10 of them on the counter.
No, there were definitely not that many. Why?
Well, I just found one under my pillow.
Oh.
And if there were 2 of them missing, then that means... Jazzy!
Meanwhile... Travis lies asleep in bed. He opens his eyes. He sits up and stares off. He slowly turns around and looks at his pillow. He peeks under the pillow to reveal a red cookie bag. Back with Sarah and Grandma Mia.
Did you dream about Travis?
Raylene and Patsy rush into the house.
Sarah?
It worked!
That's fantastic. Oh.
Mia, have you come clean with your granddaughter yet?
Oh, she has. Well, you have, right? There's not more, is there? Because I can never tell with you.
No, that's everything.
I just wanted to come by and thank you. I'm so relieved and happy and excited.
Oh, I want to see that necklace.
I'll come by later. I promise. Merry Christmas.
Now Jazzy has breakfast with Travis.
Okay. So, before we open presents, let's go next door and give Grandma Mia her gifts, all right? And then when we're over there, I'd like you to apologize to Sarah for putting that cookie under her pillow.
Jazzy looks down and nods.
Hey, Jazzy, you don't have to give me sad face. I just want you to take responsibility, okay?
Okay.
Travis kisses the top of her head. Now Grandma Mia cooks in her kitchen.
Merry Christmas. Anybody home?
Yes, in the kitchen.
Jazzy runs in.
Merry Christmas, Grandma Mia.
Oh.
Where's Sarah?
Jazzy. Oh, she's not here.
Jazzy sees a manuscript on the counter.
What's that?
Oh, that's the second Isabella book. First draft, hot off the presses.
Jazzy looks at the title page. It reads, by Sarah Grace Collins.
She used her real name.
Yes, she did. And she left that for you.
She left it?
Hmm, yeah, before she went to the airport.
The airport?
Daddy, is she leaving because of something I did?
Oh, no, sweetie, no. I think she left because of something I didn't do. Come on.
Daddy, we have to catch her.
I know, let's go.
Wait, you don't understand.
Jazzy and Travis hurry down the front steps. Travis stops and smiles as he watches Jazzy run into Sarah's open arms.
Sarah, I'm so sorry about the cookie. Please don't leave.
I'm not mad at you, Jazzy. It's okay.
Grandma Mia said you were going to the airport, so I thought...
Oh, I gave Benny a lift. He had an early flight.
So you're not leaving?
No. No, I thought I'd stick around.
Jazzy looks at Travis.
Do some more writing, maybe by Grandma Mia's house.
Grandma Mia smiles.
Unless you got married while I was at the airport.
No, ma'am. I did not.
Grandma Mia.
Jazzy, come on. Why don't you and I go make some breakfast?
But I already ate.
Grandma Mia raises her eyebrows.
Oh.
Grandma Mia takes Jazzy by the hand, and they run up the front steps. Travis stands alone with Sarah.
Did she put a cookie under your pillow, too?
Oh, yeah.
And did you dream about me?
It doesn't matter. Look, I don't need a cookie to tell me that I'm in love with you. It doesn't matter what I dream.
You totally dreamt about me, didn't you?
Oh, my God.
Did you?
You want to know what I remember about that infamous, not really a bear attack?
Screaming, running, locking the deadbolt.
Before that, there was a split second where you didn't know it was a dog either. And you stepped in front of me. You remember that?
Yeah.
You stepped between me and the bear. That was the day I fell in love with you, Travis Walker. And it's been every day since. Of course I dreamt about you again. It's kismet.
Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Travis leans in, and they kiss. Sarah wraps her arms around his shoulders as they continue to kiss. They smile at each other, and then kiss again. The screen goes black.